My deepest roots grew in Texas, but my story starts in Rhode Island, where my father was raised, where my parents met and married, and where my brothers and I were born, one after the other, after the other. It's where my parents fell in love. It's also where my father broke my mother's heart for the first time. There are Texas ranches the size of the state of Rhode Island, where my dad, Gerald Jerry Russell, grew up. He was born in 1936, an only child, and lived just outside Providence in West Warwick, a once thriving center of the water-powered textile industry. Stone and red brick mills, some with castle-like clock towers, twisted up and around the hills surrounding the Patuxent River. Mills with faded glory histories and names like Royal, River Point, and Valley Queen. It's where Fruit of the Loom started, where some of the world's best velvet and lace and corduroy were made, and where generations of Irish Catholics and immigrants from Canada and Europe worked the looms side by side in sweatshops. My father's ancestors were among those immigrants who came to work in the textile mills. My dad's grandfather, Pepe, had emigrated to West Warwick from Quebec. He spoke only French, but was determined to raise his family in the ways of their new country, speaking only English. Like many French-Canadian immigrants, Pepe worked in the textile mills. Eventually, he opened a barber shop, and after my father graduated from high school and spent a short time in the United States Air Force, he became a barber too. My dad's father eventually joined the barber shop, but not before devoting much of his adult life to working in the textile mills as well. As my mother tells it, my grandpa lacked the skill at haircutting that his father and son possessed. Perhaps it skipped a generation. Nonetheless, news articles from the West Warwick paper saved by my grandmother stand as evidence of the three generations of barbers that were my dad, my grandpa, and Pepe. Whatever my grandfather lacked in barbering skills, he more than made up for in warmth and physical affection, which was lucky for all of us, especially my dad, since his mother, Doris Fryer Russell, was very much the opposite. She seemed to temper every gregarious gesture of grandpa's through her own more tepid, quiet manner and tone. Both her parents were English, and while she was loving and thoughtful in her own way, she was much more reserved. She was careful in her manner, and though she carried herself on the most beautiful legs I have ever seen, her style of dress reflected that reserve. Given her measured nature, I always marveled at how outgoing and confident my dad was. He was warm and physically affectionate, particularly with his own children. He was, in all ways, his father's son. Biology doesn't always trump environment, though. Our deep childhood hunger becomes our destiny. Often, we spend the rest of our lives answering to the combination of who we were born to be, mixed with the environment that played a role in shaping that fate. My father grew up with a sense of confidence generated from both of these influences. He was an only child of two parents who loved him dearly. He was their center, their pride, even if my grandmother wasn't as generous in her ability to demonstrate that. He was well-liked by his peers and seemed, though not classically handsome, he had an oversized nose and an unruly mane, to attract all manner of people into his fold. His laugh, his energy, the way he owned a conversation without seeming overbearing were, I'm sure, all traits that eventually attracted my mother to him. These traits also kept her deeply drawn to him, even when he hurt her, even when he deeply hurt her. His was a bravado that allowed him the ability to disengage from that, from what he left in his wake. And along the way, he would leave several women in his wake. But there was something magical about him, too. Something incalculably endearing, for he always managed a reconnection, even if only through friendship with the women he loved. Perhaps it was because his true passion was always something beyond and outside what his amorous connections could fulfill. Was it ambition? In a sense. More accurately, it was a hunger to live the one thing that overrode his passion for all else, performing. In 1922, my mother's mother, Leela Agnes Crandall, met my grandfather, Neely Stovall, in Scipio, Oklahoma. He was born and raised in Wills Point, Texas, but had moved to Scipio not long before meeting my grandma. She was 13 and he was 18, and because her parents wouldn't give her permission to get married, they eloped on stolen horses to Fort Smith, Arkansas. When they returned to Scipio in a covered wagon 3 years later, they brought with them their firstborn, my Uncle Will, to whom my grandmother had given birth when she was only 15.